Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Podcast. My name is Dimitri. This is my co-host, Akim. And today we have a very special guest, Aga. She's a professional in the financial industry. And today we're going to talk about big tech, Mag 7. Hello, Aga, and welcome to the channel.
Hi, guys. It's really nice to see you. It's all good. How are you?
Say again?
No, I was saying like, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I was eager to ask you, I took a look of your portfolio and I saw you are, I believe in every Mag 7 stocks except NVIDIA. Am I right?
No, I have actually quite a lot in NVIDIA. I bought NVIDIA last year in April. So it is it's a big part of my portfolio. So I was one of the lucky ones, you know, who bought it then, and I still keep it.
So. Yeah,
I think one of the Mag 7 that you don't have is the one that I am overweight. It's Google, actually. If I'm not mistaken, it's the one that you don't have in your portfolio.
Yeah.
I mean, your performance is better than mine, so I cannot really criticize. Can't really criticize that, but. When we see the recent announcements from Google in relation to Gemini, I mean, there's a lot of potential there in terms of AI. I'm just wondering if NVIDIA, you know, after it's been up more than 200% last year and the start of this year also, it's up, what, like 80% maybe? Mm-hmm. If there is really still room to grow here for NVIDIA, why don't you, let's say, rebalance a little bit? Because NVIDIA is your number three position here in your portfolio. Why don't you rebalance into other Mag 7s? Do you still see here some room to run? Or?
So actually, I started like last month. I was thinking that, yeah, that's a time, you know, to rebalance because NVIDIA grew a lot. However, I'm not planning. I'm always buying. I'm not selling anything. I'm not planning to sell. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm not panicking, you know, as you mentioned a lot in this podcast, actually, that is really good, especially for new investors, that if something is growing, you don't panic that it's growing. So what should I do? You panic when it starts going down. But this is natural way of life, you know, mm-hmm. What goes up must come down. So I still keep this one. Then, of course, I will try to buy more other, but also tech stocks. As I believe it has a really huge potential, even though I'm not very, you know, this person who follows all the new trends. I don't have the newest iPhone, etc. So that's my part of like private life. But then about stocks, I think it has a huge potential, and especially the Mag 7. It's like you can see, it's like for the first time, I think, since also internet that it became it started growing. It's AI. It's like the biggest sector right now. So, and I think that Mag 7 also, I don't recall any other like pack of stocks being so huge comparing to SP 500. That, you know, like if something falls in Mag 7, the SP 500 falls. It's like you can always see that, especially like after last week when you had all the earnings announced as well. So yeah, I know I must diversify it a bit. I must say I really like NVIDIA. That's why I keep it quite high. But yeah, I think it's time to diversify. But still, I think with the tech sector.
Yeah, a little correction. You do have Google. It's Amazon that you don't own actually. Is there a particular reason? Because you mentioned you don't have the newest iPhone, but I'm sure you use Amazon, right? Is there a reason to stay out of the trade?
No, I think Amazon actually. So I think that Amazon has a huge potential and it's still growing right now. But I think I just was because Amazon I see more like not as a really tech stock, more like
logistics or logistics real estate or
yeah.
How do you see it?
Exactly, it's like the client. How you say like supplier? You know. So I think that's the only reason. I know it has a huge potential and it's growing and it will keep growing. But I think that's the only reason, basically, that I was focusing more on the tech stocks at this point. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I just looked at the portfolio prior of getting online, and underneath it says that you are highly exposed in Microsoft and Amazon.
Microsoft?
Yeah.
Not Amazon.
I got confused. That's why I was... Anyway, the point is that you are heavily linked to them. And so what
I have like a little question. Maybe it's provocative, but look, we, the three of us, right? We're popular investors on eToro, and we have a certain number of copiers and followers, right? And people copy our portfolio, either officially, either unofficially. I'm sure there are a lot of people who see our portfolios and then they copy manually on their side, and there's no way to find out. I'm wondering, why would an investor invest in you and not in the Mag 7? There's a Mag 7 ETF, or why not just straight buy the seven stocks of the Mag 7?
Yeah, I mean, this is something, I think Mag 7 in general, if you only invest in Mag 7, it's like you are very, very concentrated on this portfolio, on those stocks. So, and I'm always about being diversified. That's why I'm trying to buy like every month a bit of like new stock, like not even tech related, like more like some luxury brands that I recently bought. But Mag 7, I would say it's like too over concentrated. Of course, if someone wants to do it and is trusting their instinct and trusting that it will grow, then of course they can do it. Our portfolio, I believe, like for you guys, is the same, that you have more stock than like just seven stocks. So I think that's why I believe that diversifying is the most important thing. And yeah, I think Mag 7 is like really too over-concentrated. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a huge hype on AI and everything, but if you invest your own money, I think personally, I would not go just to invest money in only these particular stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have 30 positions in your portfolio, and you have some exposure in Europe as well. So your portfolio, you can't just say just Mag 7. You have the big tech stocks, but you have some LVMH in there. You have some Rolls Royce. You have some Heineken. So you have quite a bit of exposure in Europe, and it makes sense because since you are European, you're probably more comfortable investing with the companies that you actually know and they are from your geographical area, let's say. But I want to go back to Amazon for a minute, because Amazon was the company actually that started the whole thing with me.
Oh, okay.
I knew Demetrius would have to talk about Amazon because this is his baby.
No, that's good. Curious, because if I don't have it, then it's good to know, you know, from your side.
So when I was in New York, I was working in an e-commerce company. We were selling clothes, high-end clothing online. We had a huge warehouse, and we had like almost like millions of items, of luxury items, from sacks to belts to suits to everything. And I was in charge of it for the last couple of years. And I understand the process of someone going online, go on the website, buy something, pay it, and then the process that takes for us to find it, pack it, ship it, and go to the customer. If you are really, really good, you can do it in 3 days. Okay? So by the time you pay online, by the time you get it on your mail, it could be 3 days if you are in the continental United States. So while I'm working there, I order some things on Amazon. And I order them on Saturday afternoon. And I got them on Sunday morning. And it was out of state. And that was 2016. And I was like, wow, how do they do that? Do they have people working on the warehouses 24/7? Because it wasn't the post office that came and delivered. It was like a white van. It was like a mafia scene. Somebody opened the door, dropped the package, and left. And I was so impressed. And so Amazon for me started the whole thing. Even though e-commerce is not twice priced that high, is the cloud business that make Amazon so valuable. But e-commerce is what brings all the revenue the huge amount of revenue you see every quarter, that's from the e-commerce, and they combine them together, and it is what it is. Now they're adding the chips and they're adding AI and all that. But for me, Amazon started. It was Amazon that made me think as an investor instead of a consumer. I was a consumer, and then when I saw that they provided me with a service that it was unbeatable, I couldn't understand how they can deliver a package in less than 24 hours.
And so you're a very loyal person to them, yeah.
Yes.
Investor.
Oh yes, absolutely. And then from there, I became an investor. It was that made my switch from a consumer to an investor. So what was your moment?
What was my moment? So I'm not sure if it was a moment, but actually for me, I'm interested in politics in general.
Okay.
And as we know, politics always have influence on economy. Then,
yes.
But for me, it was always like those things. And I was never like, I never understood the before, like, you know, how the stock works. You know, normally you have the stereotype that like only if you are super rich, you can invest in stocks. And for me, I was like, okay, wait, why everyone now is saying that like if this happens in the world or this war happens, why now everyone is saying, the stock is going down? I'm like, okay, what does have this influence on me, you know, personally? So then I started going like slowly. And I started investing like really few, just like in few stocks in the beginning. I mean, first I started copying portfolio, and then I was thinking, okay, if I know more or less more about it, I will just start with my own ideas. And I started investing really amounts that I didn't have like really one stock or like even three stocks leading my portfolio. I had a lot of stocks with a few amounts, and then like once you start actually reading and understanding, this is super interesting. And also, as you now mentioned about Amazon, in general, I think the Magnificent Seven stocks, it's like nowadays, like if you go on the streets and you will always see someone with iPhone, that is Apple, with opening Instagram, that is Meta, ordering something on Amazon. I think in the US, they don't even have they don't do research online what to buy online. They just go on Amazon because they're connected with their credit card. So it's simple, you know. Still in Europe, it's maybe a bit different. So everything, like each of the stocks, it's like connected to the everyday life. So this is incredible. But again, it's as investing, I think if someone only invests in this, it's still a bit too over-concentrating, yeah.
Akin, that's your turn, buddy. I would love to hear your.
I thought you forgot about me.
We are waiting for some provocative questions and comments from you, you know, as always.
We left you for last, so you can go longer.
About my moment when I became an investor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question because it's not like one specific day where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, but I think it was for really a lot of people. The same way they started as I started. So the first time ever that I invested, I didn't invest. I actually traded, and I didn't know the difference. I was a student. I was like, I think I was actually like 19 years old. Actually, I was very young, and I had the student debt. Right, I still have it, but I had a huge student debt that I contracted when I was 18. And so at 19, I was like, "All right, I'm gonna pay it back." And my mother gave me 600 euros at that time to invest, just for me to have fun. And I thought I was investing. And what I did is I traded the oil. I remember I traded oil. I was studying oil and gas, not as major, but it was one of my programs, one of the things I was really interested in. And I started trading. And then I actually didn't understand that I was not investing. I was not buying a long position and then holding or buying a. I was actually using leverage, but at the time I didn't know what I was doing. And I saw 600 euros, so I have 600 euros. I need to have a target price of, I don't know, say 20k the amount of my student debt. And the way to reach it is I need to leverage times, I don't remember, times 100 maybe I used, and I got wiped out. Really, I got wiped out in seconds. I was like, what just happened? And I didn't touch anything until I turned maybe 26 or a couple of years ago, until COVID, actually, until COVID hit 2020. And there, we were all a bit bored. We had just the internet. We were not able to go out, to go even, I don't know, to go anywhere. And I had some extra cash on the side, and I decided to have a look into it. I was traumatized all these years. I was like, what just happened? I put 600, I lost them in a minute. I was completely shocked for all these years. And then 2020, COVID happened. I decided to go again. And this time I didn't become much wiser. I mean, I didn't use leverage, but I bought Bitcoin. And so with a bit of my savings, I bought Bitcoin. And then I saw in a couple minutes, I lost half the value. Not half the value, but like really big shock that reminded me the first time I traded. And I was like, what the hell is happening? And then the second slap actually woke me up, and I decided to read a bit and to see how things are done. And I think this is why I have now a portfolio that is very conservative, actually, very defensive, that I'm very careful. Low volatility, and I don't like to lose value. I think it's due to the two slaps I had. Because when someone slaps you really hard twice, you're gonna try to stay away from that person. I mean, I don't know how you guys are. I don't know, Dimitris, if you like pain, but I had pain twice from the market, and I'm done with it. So now I'm just gonna play it safe. I'm gonna choose quality stocks. I do have some of the Mag 7, Google and Microsoft. I'm actually overweight in the two of them, and but overweight. But the two together, right now, I think it's 6% of my portfolio, and I plan to go up to 10% of my portfolio for the two stocks, Microsoft and Google. I'm not gonna go above that because they are still volatile. I mean, they're a bit more volatile than, for example, say Verizon. Verizon is basically a bond, right? And so it's a process, but unfortunately, a lot of people get burnt in the markets. And one of our first episodes with you, Dimitris, was that if you want to start investing in market, just put a little bit of cash, because you're likely to lose it or to lose value there. And try to follow the news and try to learn a bit and to read more. And with time, you can invest more and more without being also like overconfident or having unreasonable expectations.
And I think I said the last episode you had, it was really, really cool about like the do's and don'ts for the investing. And even now, like what we talk about, I think it's really important if people can understand that, okay, we are investing now, but we are even still learning. No, none from us like bought the first stock and we knew what we were doing 100%. It's like we are still learning. So I think that's especially the last episode, it was really, really valuable. And also as you said that you cannot know everything about every stock, even if you are there for 30 years in the market. As you said in the, this guy from CNBC, the one who is giving
The Jim Cramer.
it's like it's impossible. It's just like, kind of I would say like show off. Okay, it's like nice to see, but it's impossible for you to know everything about stocks.
You just sit like it's exactly the same situation. We sit and you ask me about the stock, and I just Google it in front of you. I said, you know what he does? He just sees the sector of the stock and makes an estimation, buy, sell low. But yeah, it's a no-no. But listen, about Akeem, about the story. It takes some guts to go with oil and leverage on the first trade. I was shitting myself. Forgive me.
I wanted to get rich quick, get rich or die.
Me too. But getting
And I died.
oil, it's and using leverage like right from the get-go, you are 19, it takes some guts. It takes some guts.
I was a confident teenager.
I mean, do you imagine if it was because if you got into oil a year after doing the 2020, you probably made quite a bit of money. Maybe the timing was right, but it takes some guts to go in, and then those two experiences the more you to the investor you are now. So would you prefer not making the mistake in the beginning and make the mistake 5, 6, 10 years in?
Yeah, Dimitris, this is why it's important that to start, you start with small amounts, because I don't think everyone goes through a pain therapy like I went through. Some people take the time to read, you know, the instructions. When I receive a package from Amazon, because we talk about Amazon, I open the package, I try to set up the furniture myself, and then I see that I'm stuck, and then I read the instructions manual. But a lot of people, actually, they have the patience to read before doing something. Mm-hmm. But some people just learn by doing. And for those who learn by doing, put a small amount, invest a small amount, really. Don't put much, and buy a bit of everything, and then you will be learning. I also started like this. You bought a bit of everything, and then you continued learning, and you're still on a learning curve. But the more you learn, the more you, let's say, concentrate your portfolio while staying diversified. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, like, I think what's really important is that, like, when whatever you're investing, just don't invest, you know, like all your savings, because people are like, yeah, I saved a bit, I will invest. No, invest, it's really something extra. Okay, you don't need a lot of money to invest, but that's one of the most important things. Just don't go all in.
And one of the things that sometimes I advise my friends who don't know really how to choose a company, but they really want to do stock picking, I say do like, I don't say do like Dimitris, but I say do, and Dimitris explained earlier, choose the companies that you are happy with, the services you're happy with. If you have a Tesla car and you're really happy with it, it's a good start. It's good to start with Tesla, to have it in your portfolio, and then to study it more, because you know the product, you know the product is great. Amazon, you know the service is great. So it is likely that other customers also find the product or the service really great. So it is likely that the company will continue to grow, and the stock also to rise. This is just how to start. But of course, later you have to learn the metrics and how to do things, how to value stocks. This for sure. But to start, I think it's good to start first with the stocks that you know. And that's why the Mag 7, they're in a fantastic position. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows and uses daily Microsoft, Nvidia in our chips, right? Chips in our laptops, Meta, of course, Google, Tesla, Apple, Amazon. We literally use all those every day. And this is why they're in a fantastic position, because all the new entrants in the market, they will be like, it's the stocks they know. So it's the stocks they're going to start with. So there will always be a base to the stock price. Even if there is a drop, it's not going to drop that much, because there are always new entrants and new money flowing in every year. And while those stocks are there daily in our lives, I think it's a good basis to be invested in those Mag 7.
Yeah. And I have actually one question for you guys. You have to say that one stock, like, let's make it Magnificent 6. Yeah. If you like, you know, you want to eliminate.
I know where you're going. So ask the question.
So there's one. Sorry, Dimitris. Go ahead.
No. You first, my friend. You first.
So one thing, as an investor, I don't like stocks that have only one product or one service. And for me, for now, what I'm seeing from the Mag 7. The one that has one product slash one service, you can disagree, but in my opinion, it's Meta. In my opinion, Meta is the least diversified in its offering compared to the other stocks. So I would stay away from Meta. This is the only one from the Mag 7.
I thought you were going in some other direction, but...
Which one?
No, go ahead. You're going to ask a question. Go ahead, ask the question.
Which one, Aga?
No, like if you want to eliminate one of the Magnificent Seven, what would be your choice?
Would be my choice. Okay. So it's my turn?
Yeah.
Yes, it okay. is.
So I don't have Apple in my portfolio, so I can't eliminate that. And I believe I have the rest of them. If I had to eliminate one, it would be Google. It would be Google for the reason that It's basically the search engine and advertising. I know they provide some internet services and some
clouds also, cloud service, right?
And cloud is not like Amazon. It's not like Amazon. I mean, Amazon is the boss when it comes to cloud. And Microsoft now, they're ahead with AI. And I'm not trying to say Google is not a good company. I don't want people to think that. But if you're put in a position to choose, I would say Google. Even though now the
campaign. Yeah, I think then I'm closer to agree with you than with Akim. I don't think I would choose Google, but I think you have a point that, you know, the search engine, I think like with all AI rising right now, people, like, it will not be even needed, you know, like all the search, etc. But Meta,
If you asked me 2 weeks earlier, I would agree with that with Akim. But I just put Meta 2 weeks ago, like last week. I can't do a reverse now. So I have to stick with my convictions about Meta.
I mean, Meta gives me a bit the vibe of Netflix. I mean, it's very different companies. But Netflix, if Netflix, which is its only product and service, if Netflix loses subscribers, it's over with Netflix. Mm-hmm. And with Meta, if you have some other social media rising, for example, you have TikTok. It rose and it's just unbeatable now, TikTok, in its field of videos, right? Instagram is trying to integrate that video part. Mm-hmm. So there is, I don't know if there's really a lot of revenue increase potential. Facebook is already used by billions of people throughout the world. I don't know if there's really a lot of potential to continue growing for Meta, unless it goes in other fields than social media.
But also, it's like with all the regulators, like regulatory issues with TikTok, etc. It's like it's still the biggest social media. So nowadays, even if we try to stay away from social media, it's there, and everyone uses it. So I think Meta is still quite strong. I mean, let's see. Maybe here we'll have the same episode, and then we'll like have different opinions about the stocks.
Yeah, but I really mean in terms of growth. In terms of growth, Google can surf on the AI trend and it can come up with the next big thing. Mm-hmm. Meta, I don't see the next big thing coming from them. From all the other big companies, I can see a next big thing happening because of their innovation capability and that they try to go in different sectors and do different things. But for Meta, I don't have the feeling that Mark Zuckerberg will go away from his baby, which is Facebook. This is why I'll stay away from that stock.
It's your style of investing. You want to see the glimpse of the future and then jump in, right? And
yes,
and you can't see with Meta because it is what it is. And even if TikTok is banned in the United States, they're gonna get some new creators that they were on TikTok, they're going to get them on Instagram. But still, it's not, I mean, they have 3.5 billion and the world is like 8 billion. So how many more are you going to get? I mean, you got all of them already.
Yeah, that's why I say
there's
not much growth potential, at least from what I'm saying. But Demetrius, I'm surprised that you're not contradicting me because you just initiated the trade last week.
I did, and I told you on real time, I bought it and then I text you right away.
Yeah, I know. You texted me. I was like, what the F, man?
But I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to argue with you to buy it. I'm just, you know, we're just sharing our trades. And sometimes it's better not to follow what I do, because if it goes further down, I'm going to double down in my conviction. And one more thing I wanted to say, and I want to get your opinions. The Mach 7 now, they start paying dividends. They're becoming value. What do you think
insane,
about
that? Insane.
I think it was also Google that they announced like really
absolutely
minimum dividend. It's like
a couple cents per share.
They were even saying like why they even did it, because you know, it's like really minimum. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 0.1% dividend yield, I think they have now. 0.1%. So it's basically nothing. But if they didn't do, their stock might go down a little. I think they did it because the other ones were doing it, and so there's a bit of competition here. Amazon didn't announce it, right? They had recent earnings reports, and there were some rumors saying maybe Amazon also will announce soon the dividend, but
Was
they
it
still.
rumors or there were just assumptions that Google did it so Amazon should follow? Is that what it was, or it was like,
Yes, that's what I heard,
yeah.
in the news. So.
They're becoming value now. Value, okay. The dividend, so if the dividend is less than 1%, it's just symbolic. They're just giving it to give it. Now, if you are the co-founder and you have 100 billion worth of your net worth on Google, then you are up for a big payday. But they're becoming not exactly value, but you can get a different demographic of investors that they want to have some income. So that's what it was. That doesn't make a difference to me if they pay a dividend or not, because you want them to grow. But
It's maybe the start of a trend. Maybe they will keep growing their dividends also, right? They will pay more and more with the
and
quarters and the years.
I mean, hope if they start like really with really low ones, then yeah.
The thing that I heard, and it made a lot of sense, is that they are making too much money. And they don't know what to do with the money because you're gonna spend only so much on R&D, okay? And then after R&D, you're trying to buy a little company like 5 billion, and your market cap is 1.5 trillion, let's say Amazon, and you want to buy a little company, and the regulators are coming after you because they're trying to buy a little company, then you can't do anything with them. So why don't you give some to the shareholders, and maybe you're gonna get Buffett to buy Google, or because that's the way he bought Apple. If Apple wasn't paying a dividend, I don't think he was buying Apple. So do you see a scenario that Buffett is buying Google
I
or?
mean, the real reason he bought Apple. So, of course, there can be a lot of reasons, but one reason I heard, so I don't know if it's an exact quote that I'm going to say, but he said the reason he bought Apple is that you have a lot of consumers who are ready to pay $10,000 to keep their right from buying Apple in their lifetime. So, a lot of consumers would rather spend $10,000, but to keep the right of buying Apple products. But if you ask someone, are you ready to pay $10,000 to have the right to buy a Ford, for example, the car Ford during your lifetime? They will be like, heck no, I'm not going to spend a single cent because Ford, there are a lot of replacements. But Apple, their products are quite unique and their services also, that a lot of consumers are ready to pay just to have that privilege to be able to choose some Apple product or Apple service. And I think ultimately this is how Buffett chooses the his stocks. It's he chooses depending on the moat that the company has. If that company cannot be substituted, he definitely puts it on his wish list. And Apple is a perfect example because it's very difficult to find products that have similar quality than Apple, or services, similar services than Apple.
And especially when Apple enters a market, they usually dominate the market.
Yeah.
When
That's why I mentioned I'm not a big fan of, for example, Netflix. It's kind of easy to replace.
Yes.
Not easy in the sense of super easy, but it can be replaced with a single streaming service provider. So.
I think also, like, if we are not talking about this, it's really, even if all the restrictions they have now in China, especially, etc., you can still see how strong it is. You know, it's not that like it went down suddenly or something happened. It's incredible that like people were thinking, okay, if there is some restrictions around the world, etc. Now they also have some. I think that it's being investigated in Europe. So and it's still strong. So it's like also like from one point, it's like really like they rely on one product that like basically are waiting for a new iPhone to be released and then maybe the stock is changing. So it's really simple paths, let's say, but still they are so strong that any issues around, they are still keeping them in game.
Talking about these macro issues, what happened yesterday with the Fed? Can
interesting idea.
did this impact somehow the Mach 7? The Mach 7 was rather flat, I think, yesterday. But could it impact somehow the Mach 7 in the next coming month if the rates stay high? I know that high rates, they really affect Tesla, right? A lot of people need to make loans to buy the Tesla cars. I think to some extent it also affects Apple and consequently Nvidia. So is there are there some stocks from the Mach 7 that you think are better positioned to ride the wave of uncertainty? We'll not go into speculation. Will there be cuts or not? We're looking at the facts. The rates are high. Inflation is sticky. So the rates will probably stay high for some time. Even if there are cuts, they're not going to be that many. So that's the base case, and we'll not debate on that. But it's really how Mach 7 will behave in the next coming month. In relation to the Fed, to Powell's conference from yesterday, and to the overall Fed path. I know Dimitris was having a very nice pizza with several screens watching the conference. Do you think there's any impact on the Mach 7 from the monetary policy here, or will Mach 7 just follow their own path?
I think they're untouchable. And that's the bottom line. But they're going to get some volatility like they all do. And they're going to get a bit more because they are priced in more in multiples that other stocks, more value stocks. Now, if you want to choose a couple of them that you can bet your life on it, that you know what? I'm going on a trip and I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back. Then you want to choose two positions. My two will be Apple and Microsoft. Those two are the winners no matter what. Nvidia is too volatile to have just to choose it. You might lose 50% within a year with no problem. But big picture, I don't think we get in the Mach 7, like I said, they are untouchable. They are okay. You want to exclude Tesla? Fine. Because we know Tesla has, yeah, it's more sensitive with rates, but the rest of them, Netflix included, they're not going to have any issue. And the ups and downs of the market when the Fed talks, all the stocks go get affected by it. And the Mach 7 are priced that high for precisely the confidence that investors have that they're going to be around in the next 5, 10 years. And that's the reason they are priced that much.
Well, what about you, Aga? How does it affect your investment decision in relation
No, so
to
I
the Mach
think
7s?
actually I completely agree with you, Dimitris, that I think in the beginning of year it was more like speculations about the Fed decisions, and I think everyone was expecting more cuts over the year, and now when we see one more month, it's okay. Well, there's no cut on this, so I think for the next few months we will still not see any cuts. I think, of course, like the volatility of the stock in the beginning of the year, it was not only affected by the Fed decisions, but I'm sure it had some influence on the different stocks. And yes, Nvidia, I think it's really strong, and of course it's volatile stock. But I don't think that this will also that the Fed decision will affect, and especially in the next few months.
So which one or two do you have the most confident going into the next 6 months until the because the whole thing is the election. So until the election, the next 6 months, which one of the Mach 7 you have most confidence in it?
So for sure Nvidia, but then I'm still not sure about Microsoft. I would say Microsoft. Yeah. If I have to choose, I think I would say two of those.
But why are you both actually invested in Tesla? Because I'm hearing here That Tesla. I mean,
No, so actually, when I asked you the question, you know, which one you would eliminate, I would eliminate Tesla, even though I have Tesla in my portfolio. Just because it's like too volatile, not only about, you know, the stock itself, that also it's like with Apple that you rely on the next product that will go. And there is a huge competition already for Tesla. For Apple, like for iPhone, you don't have so much
How
competition.
about the CEO Elon Musk? Is it a plus or a minus
Yeah,
for the
so
stock?
that's one more thing that yeah, people are actually like taking their money out of Tesla stock just because they don't like their CEO, you know. So
That's me. It's not I don't like Elon Musk, but he himself is a bit too volatile to my taste. I feel like anything can happen, good or bad, but it's a, he's a cause of volatility in my opinion for Tesla stock.
I would say like he's a genius in like the one field that he does, you know, what like he invented, etc. But yeah, it's too volatile, and that's the thing. Like whatever he will say, whatever with who he will meet, it can has a have an influence on stock. So it's difficult to analyze the stock and make sure that I will put now this money on Tesla and I will.
A simple tweet can make the stock go up 10% or down 10%. This is insane. And he tweets a lot.
But without him, Tesla is not priced. Without Elon Musk as the CEO, I don't think Tesla makes it into the Mach 7. I think, right?
Yes, I think it weighs in the value, and probably there's also some risk there because he's a key person. The other companies, I don't think they depend on their CEOs. If the CEO dies or something happens, we'll be replaced, right? But for
The
Tesla,
Nvidia guy is important. They let check it out.
eventually. But for Tesla, really, Tesla is Musk. When you think about Tesla, you have Musk's face. I mean, you think about.
Exactly. That's why I said like he's a genius for like what he achieved, and it's impressive what he's trying to achieve. It's like no one did it before. But yeah, again, it's like this person that I don't trust him in general because I have no idea what he will say tomorrow, you know. So, you know, and you are putting your money in this.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And, I work with some venture capital funds. And what investors tell me in venture capital, so it's a bit different, of course, than investing in stocks. But the investors that I talk to, they say that before investing in a company, they want to see whether the top management, so the CEO, is someone that they would be fine to spend time with and to some extent trust as well. And Elon Musk, from that perspective, doesn't exactly tick the boxes here, because it's someone who is a bit dangerous. It's not someone I would trust anything to, you know. So why would I trust my money to? I mean, by buying the stock, I don't exactly hand him the money, but in a way, I do, right? Because my money depends on what he does, and this is where I don't feel really confident in investing in Tesla.
We're going to get him on the show and we're going to ask him some questions so you can be better investing
I
in.
will tell him exactly that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will, and he's going to reply to you in his own way.
He'll be
So
waiting for your provocative questions, Akim.
indeed. No, but we really plan to invite him. Demetrius will contact him. Demetrius has an
Yeah,
excellent network of
I will make that happen. So I wanted to ask you one more thing, Aga, before we move to the Fed. So you mentioned in the beginning that sometimes you buy the stock, the Mach 7 stocks, that they increase so much, and that can become a problem. I see that as a very good problem to have. If something you buy something and it goes up 200, 300%, I know it creates problem, but it's a good problem to have. So what do you do there in a case that as a stock doubles and triples within a year and it becomes disproportionate compared to the other positions in your portfolio?
So yeah, as I said before about Nvidia, for example, like when I bought Nvidia it was last year, so it was growing like really quickly, like every day it was growing. So you know, at the time I was not thinking, okay, what should I do? Should I less? Should I sell it because maybe it's growing too fast? So I kept it, but I just started adding different stocks. So I don't want to have now. Of course, I have more Nvidia, but I'm trying to buy more other stocks, even though I know that Nvidia will grow. It won't, like, even if now I'm not giving investment advices, but now I would buy Nvidia if I didn't have it. So no. Yes. Now I'm not saying I will buy it to have a number one in my portfolio. Yeah. But I was
Demetrius, you bought Meta yesterday, yeah? So you cannot. Sorry, last week, so you cannot.
No, so I will buy because, like, the stock, I don't see it going down for the next decade, to be honest. I'm not sure how it will go down, how it will go up, if quickly or not. But I think that's why I think that diversifying, it's good. I was lucky enough that I had most Nvidia at the time that it was really growing a lot from last year. But yeah, I think I will not sell it for sure, or any of the magnificent stocks, the seven I have, not even Tesla. yeah, so I think that would be the strategy.
So your way to rebalance your portfolio is just by adding more to other positions, right?
Exactly. I'm not a selling person. I'm attached to the. I mean, as you said, I think it was a last episode, Akim, that. You know, they're not your kids, so you can
yes,
like get rid of them. But I'm like, no, I feel like I'm attached because also, like, you know, I bought them when I started investing, so I was learning about investing. That's why somehow, like, they brought me, like, good and bad times, you know.
But, you know, even kids, actually, probably I was somehow wrong last episode, because even kids, you get rid of them when they turn 18. Or when they get older, right? So stocks, when they mature,
you went there.
It's probably time to let them go as well, when they mature.
Yeah.
But how do you know when Max 7 will mature? You can never know that, because they're all about innovation, right? So every time we feel that they have matured, they come up with the next big thing.
Yeah, but I think not maturing, but they will just keep developing, because they have, right now, they have so much opportunity, so much cash to spend on development, on resources. They have, like, endless amounts to spend on this. Then I believe when there's any other competition, like it happened, for example, Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp. So, like, Facebook was there, then Instagram appeared, and, well, what should we do? So let's buy them. So, you know, I believe that it's more probable that when there is competition, the competition will be, like, added value to the Mac 7. But they are, like, just too strong for me at this moment to be like, you know, there is a huge competition for Nvidia, and then Nvidia is gone, like, in 1 year. Maybe I'm, like, too positive, you know?
No.
Any other questions you have, Akim, about the...
No, I agree with Agar. Being an investor is being optimistic, right, about the stocks you own. If you're not positive or optimistic about what you own, it makes no sense to own them.